Unable to press from her mind the image of the children feeding on the tainted snow, Molly paced and drank too much coffee. Neil remained seated on the floor, using the TV remote. Up and down the broadcast ladder, more channels than before were too poorly received to be watchable, and more than previously were out of service altogether. Twice, they encountered signals that manifested on the screen as coruscating patterns and vibrant colors. Although reminiscent of the symmetrical displays that dazzled at the bottom of a kaleidoscope, these designs had no sharp edges. They were all curves and sinuous forms, apparently infinite in variety, yet suggestive of meaning. Accompanying the patterns were the oscillating electronic tones that Molly had heard on the telephone. Shrieks, followed by low pulses of sound, followed by piercing whistles. Government officials were suddenly all over the tube, sounding authoritative, but looking at best disquieted and confused. At worst, frightened. The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, various officials from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Weather-related crises were springing up by the dozens every hour, all because of the unprecedented volume of rain, now estimated at 7 inches an hour in many locations. With frightening rapidity, rivers overflowed their banks. Dams filled faster than floodgates could relieve the growing pressure. Already, in Oregon, only a few hours after the rains had begun, a dam had burst and several small towns had been washed away. Incredibly, when the entire world might be at risk, Molly worried about the stability of their one piece of real estate. What about mudslides?
We're safe, Neil assured her. We're on bedrock.
I don't feel safe.
We're so high, 2,000 feet above any possible floodplain.
Irrationally, she felt that they might somehow ride out even the end of the world as they knew it, if only their home remained intact, as if the Sloan residence were a bubble universe sufficient unto itself. While they had eaten sandwiches and watched the world falling into tumult on TV, Neil had moved the family room telephone from the end of the table beside the sofa, where it usually stood, to the floor at his side. From time to time, he had tried to call his brother, Paul, in Hawaii. Sometimes he got a dial tone. Paul's cell phone rang out there on Maui, but no one answered. At other times, when he picked up the handset, he got the oscillating electronic tones that accompanied the colorful patterns on TV. On the 7th or 8th attempt, a connection was made. Paul answered. The sound of his brother's voice clearly lifted Neil's spirits.
Polly, thank God. Thought you might be just crazy enough to catch some waves in this.
Paul surfed. The ocean was his second passion. Molly grabbed the remote control, muted the TV. Into the phone, Neil said,
What?
He listened.
Yeah, we're okay. Here at the house, it's raining so hard, maybe we need gopher wood and plans for an ark.
Molly knelt in front of her husband, reached to the phone, and pressed the button labeled speaker. From the north shore of Maui, Paul said,
Seen a lot of tropical rains, but nothing like this.
TV says 7 inches an hour. Worse than that here, Paul said. Much worse. Rain so thick you can almost drown on your feet. If you gasp for breath, you get more water than air. The rain, it's a heavy weight, wants to drive you to your knees. We've gathered in the courthouse, almost 400 of us. The courthouse?
Puzzlement furrowed Neil's brow.
Not the church? The church is on higher ground. The courthouse has fewer and smaller windows, Paul explained. It's more easily fortified and defended.
Defended? Molly glanced at the pistol, the shotgun,